Well, good morning, friends. Great that you could join us again. This morning, I'd like to read from Colossians chapter 2, picking it up at verse 6. Colossians 2 from verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. This is the Word of God. Well, let's pray as we come before God's Word this morning. Lord Jesus, we do just thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that we have in a language that we can understand. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding this morning. As we tackle this next section of Colossians, give us wisdom, insight, and help me as I speak, that what I say would be your words and not my own. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure many of you have joined clubs or societies over the years. We've all been part of different organizations and groups. And when you join them, there's normally a set of rules of things that you can and can't do. Perhaps the easiest example is to think of a school. When you join a specific school, you join that school knowing what their rules are. When you're in their uniform, you need to obey the rules of the school because you represent that school. Now, friends, it's the same when it comes to the Christian life. We're expected to live a life worthy of the gospel. You'll remember Paul telling us this in chapter 1 and verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. We're expected to live for Jesus if people know that we are a Christian. Paul has spent the first chapter and a bit of the second chapter describing their salvation or our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and how we are to grow in the Lord. He's defined for us the supremacy of Christ in verse 15 of chapter 1 and the following verses. And he has shown them how he has slaved hard to work for them that they might remain true to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul wants us to remain true to the gospel. He wants us to live a life worthy of Christ. And so in chapter 2, verses 6 through to verse 12, Paul defines some of what is required to live a life worthy of the Lord. I think he mentions four things in this passage, and I want to have a look at each of those in turn. Our first comment, and the first thing that Paul mentions about living a life worthy of the gospel, is that we need to continue to live in Christ. Verses 6 and 7. We'll have a look at those in a moment. Think about your own life for a brief moment here. When things become normal to us. Okay, so lockdown's been happening now for probably 60 days by this stage. And we're starting to lose sight of why it was set up in the beginning. We're starting to feel frustrated. We've lost the importance. We've lost the meaning. I remember as a youngster, I used to travel from Fisher to Simonstown to get to school, a journey of about 6 or 8 Ks, and I used to cycle it. Now, if you know that part of the world, you will know that the road between Fishick and Simonstown is one of the most scenic roads in the world. In fact, tour buses come through there in their droves of tourists capturing the pictures and the sights and the sounds of that. But for 4 years, I cycled that road every single day, backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And very quickly, that road became boring. It became a grind. I did not see the beauty that was there. The beauty of the sun rising over the Hottentots Holland mountain ranges and reflecting off the sea across the bay. I grew so accustomed to it that all I would do is complain about the wind or about the sea spray or about anything really, about the traffic. I grew so accustomed to that view that I failed to see it. And friends, I wonder if sometimes as a Christian, we do not become so accustomed with the ways of the Christian life that we actually don't even notice them anymore. We don't even see them. They just become normal. We become indifferent to them and we forget about them. Well, Paul tells us here in verse 6, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Friends, I think most of us who are watching this video, perhaps not everybody, but most of us have received Christ Jesus into our lives at some point. That is to say that we have accepted and understood the death and resurrection of Jesus and why he died for us. Paul tells us that we have received not just the Lord Jesus, or not just Jesus Christ, but received him as Lord. Now that word Lord there is more than just a title. That word Lord means ruler, king, the one who has authority over. And if we go back to chapter 1, we can see, as Paul describes Jesus for us, that he is the firstborn over all creation. And as he goes on to speak about all the powers and rulers and authorities are under him. We have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. But we have also to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord. In other words, we are to give him the authority over our lives. He is the one that is to direct our lives. He is the one that is to guide us in our daily lives. Paul says that part of living a life worthy of the Lord is accepting not only his salvation, but his authority over our lives. If we cannot give Jesus authority over our lives, then we have not accepted his salvation. It doesn't help just to know about Jesus. We need to make him Lord. The trouble is, friends, that when we become Christians, it's all new and exciting to us, and we might make Jesus Lord over our lives. But as life becomes normal, as we go about the daily grind of life, we become familiar with this, and we fail to make Jesus Lord. And so Paul says to us, because of that, here are three things that we can do in order to ensure that we continue to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Notice here in verse 7 that we are to be rooted in Christ and built up in Christ. The former means to have a solid grounding. Good Bible teaching. A solid grounding in the Word of God. And the latter means to be constantly tapping in to that solid ground. As I've mentioned many times before, there should never be a moment as a Christian where we should become so familiar with Christ that we stop growing in Him. Paul continues and says that to continue in Christ, we must also ensure that we are strengthened in our faith by being taught the Word of God. Now, I think it's very interesting to note here that Paul does not say that we must grow in our faith, but be strengthened in our faith. Let me explain the subtle difference between these two. When I was a teenager, I did a lot of rock climbing on and around Table Mountain. In the beginning, the hardest part for me was not climbing the rocks, but was trusting this thin little rope to stop me from falling. It wasn't so much the fact that I didn't believe the rope could hold me. It was more the fact that I didn't accept that this rope was strong enough. I trusted the rope, but I had to learn, I had to be strengthened in the idea that this rope could support me in every situation. I always knew the rope would hold me, but I had to learn to trust it. The more climbing I did, the more my faith in the rope was strengthened. And friends, it's the same idea with Christianity. We might have faith in Jesus, but can we trust Him in every situation? Will He live up to what He said He did? Well, yes, He will. And we probably know that. But in reality, we need to be strengthened in our faith, because we don't always put our belief in Jesus, our faith in Jesus, into practice. So Paul says, be strengthened in your faith. And how are we to be strengthened? Not by doing some spiritual mantra or something like that. He simply says, you see this in verse 7, built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. The idea here is coming under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. By good Bible teaching, by reading your Bible, and by listening intentively to what the Lord has to say. That, friends, is how we are strengthened in our faith. So that we might know the faith that we have in Jesus is well founded. But there's a third element here as well to continuing in the crisis. Not only that we are to ensure that we have a solid ground and build on it, not only are we to ensure that our faith is strengthened as we sit under the Word of God, but third, we are to continue in the Lord as we give thanks, as our thanks to Him overflows. The more I realize that I did not deserve God's salvation in my own life, the more thankful I become, and the more this thankfulness flows out to those around me. I'm sure you've been thankful for something in your life before, whether it's an amazing gift that somebody has given you. But what is the first thing that you do with that thankfulness? Well, number one, you thank the person that gave it to you. But number two, you will tell everybody else about how grateful and how thankful you are for having received that gift. And friends, that is Christianity. As we continue in the Lord, as we grow more and more to understand what He has done for us, we become more and more thankful, and this overflows to those around us. Paul says, continue in the Lord. Secondly, Paul says, do not be deceived. You see, again with Christianity, the more we know it, the more we become familiar with it, the more we think we need something new and fresh. I've heard Christians mention to me that they enjoyed our church, but they don't like it anymore because we never say anything new or fresh. As if I've got something new to add to God's word. Friends, we must not be deceived into thinking that we can add something to the word of God. I've heard Christians say to me that they love this other speaker because he has something new from God's word. Paul says, don't be deceived by these people. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. You see, many people try and twist our arms to believing them, to believing their story. And some people are brilliant at it. They can quote a verse here and a verse there and a verse there and manipulate us to understand what they are wanting to say so that we think they are giving us something new and fresh. But look what Paul says, where these people get their messages from. Verse 8. He says, these hollow and deceptive philosophies that these people try to convince us with depend on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. In the 16th century, Christianity was in a very bad way, and that's what part of the catalyst was for the Reformation that took place with Martin Luther and John Calvin and others. The church at the time was so steeped in human tradition and in the basic principles of the world that they had lost the meaning of why Christ came to die for us. The church at the time were telling people that if they gave their money to the church, they could buy their way into heaven. Who gave, the better your position in heaven. They told the people that if you kissed the steps up to St. Peter's Basilica, your sin would be forgiven. They told people that if you recited a certain poem or a certain prayer or a certain ditty so many times, then you could be certain that you would be saved. Even today, people tell us that unless we've spoken in tongues, unless we've been filled with a second blessing or a second filling of the Holy Spirit, then we're not a true Christian. Friends, none of that is biblical. None of that is what the Bible says. And people try to pull the wool over our eyes and convince us that these traditions will get us to heaven. The basic principles of the world are really no different, are they? The basic idea of life is, well, we want a comfortable life. We want to have enough money. We don't want to die. Those are the basic principles of life. And how many false teachers play on those issues? At no point does Paul ever say, and in fact, if you listen to last week's talk, you will realize that being a Christian does not excuse us from suffering. We suffer because we follow Christ. So Paul says to us to ensure that no one takes you captive. That word is very strong there in verse 8. See to it. Ensure. Take heed. Make sure that no one takes you captive. Because these people are very clever, and they know how to manipulate us, and they use it in clever ways. But Paul says, be certain not to be deceived. Now, how can we ensure that we are not deceived? Well, by looking at the previous verse. If we continue in the Lord, being filled, being rooted and built up in Him, being strengthened in the faith as we were taught, and by overflowing with thankfulness. Now, Paul picks up here on two further issues. On living a life worthy of the Lord. Firstly, he says, and my third point, we cannot have more than Christ. Verses 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Paul wants to remind us of chapter 1 and verse 15 and the following verses, where he says Jesus is God, and in Him He controls the world. He tells us again that Jesus is completely God, and that all of God's attributes, all of God's character, all of God's nature is wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of God in bodily form. In other words, if we have given Jesus authority over our lives, if we've made Him Lord over our lives, then we have the fullness of God in our lives. Notice how Paul continues here. Verse 10, you, he's speaking to the Christians, the saints, and he says, you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power. So not only do we have God with us in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we ourselves have been given the fullness of God. In other words, there's nothing more that you or I can bring to God. There's nothing more that God can bring to us. And anybody who says that we need Jesus, yes, but we also need this or that or the next thing, is a deceiver, and we must push them aside. Because we cannot have more than Jesus. How can you have some fullness? How can you have more than a full quota? We constantly want more out of life, don't we? Better relations with our family, a nicer house, more income. But look what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, as he introduces himself to the Ephesian Christians. He says that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms, how? With every, not just some, or not a portion of, but every spiritual blessing in Christ. Jesus, in fact, tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 10 that He comes into this world to bring life, and not just part of life, and not just some of life, and not just a moment in our lives, but to bring us life to the full. We cannot have Jesus and something. We have Jesus, full stop. Any person who tells us that we can be a better Christian if we do this or do that, and doesn't bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must ensure that we are not taken captive by them. Jesus gives all that we need. You might recall the chorus from years ago. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. And that's what Paul's telling us here in Colossians chapter 2. But notice that Jesus gives us something else as well. We are given life through Jesus Christ, the last two verses of this section. One of the basic principles of the world is to avoid death at all costs. We see this by trying to disguise age, by dyeing our hair and putting anti-wrinkle cream on, and trying to hide all these gray hairs that are coming out, and the baldness. We see that in movies where people fight and battle to try and get eternal life. False teachers play to these ideas. You want to live a long life? Well, then do this and do that and do that, and God will give you a long life, they might say. But Paul tells us here that through Christ we get eternal life. He uses the whole illustration of circumcision and baptism, and it does get a little bit confusing here, so I want to just make a few brief comments before we pull this together. Look at verse 11. Paul says, in Christ you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature through circumcision done by Christ as he was buried and as he was raised to life. What's Paul trying to say? Well, firstly, we need to understand what circumcision is. I'm not going into the whole medical description of circumcision, but circumcision in the Old Testament was a sign given to Abraham that he was in the fellowship of God. Abraham and all the Jewish descendants after him were to be circumcised as a picture, as a symbol of their fellowship with God. Jesus tells us, after his death and resurrection, that all Christians are now circumcised in their hearts by Jesus. No longer the physical circumcision, but a spiritual circumcision. Our hearts that have been covered with sin have been circumcised. That sin has been cut off from our hearts, and we are now able to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is trying to show us that through Jesus' death on the cross, through his resurrection, we have been given access to God. We have fellowship with God. The result of circumcising is to remind us that Jesus is our Lord and that we are to live for him. And notice that it is done by Christ, not by the hands of men. Our fellowship with God happens through Jesus Christ, not through some tradition that man has made. So again, anybody who comes and says you need to do this in order to get to God, and if they're not talking about Jesus Christ, then we must not be deceived by them. But as Jesus has circumcised us and made us clean in the sight of God and given us fellowship with God, he also purifies us. And this is the sign that he speaks here in verse 12 of being buried with him in baptism. Now, there's a whole lot of discussion around baptism, but in this case, the idea here of baptism is that as we enter the water, it's a symbol that we are dead to our old self. And as we come out the water again, it is a sign that we have been given new life in Christ. Paul wants us to remember that at no point in our Christian lives do we ever get to a point where we need more than Jesus. He wants to ensure that we receive the fullness of Christ. to protect us from being taken captive by human traditions and worldly ideas. And so he says to us, continue in him, being rooted in the true gospel, the foundation of Jesus Christ, being built in him as we spend time in the Word, being strengthened in our faith, and that leads to overflowing of thankfulness in our lives. Friends, don't become familiar with Christianity. Don't think that there's more that we could add to this story. We need to continue to live for Christ. We must not be deceived, because we cannot have more than Christ, and because we are given life only in Christ. Friends, as you listen to this, let me encourage you to live for Christ. I know we all sin. I know we all do the wrong thing. But continue to live for him. Live a life worthy of the Lord. Perhaps as you listen to this talk, you don't know the Lord Jesus. Why don't you get hold of us, either through the comments section below or through our webpage, and we'll help you to understand some more about what it means to live a life worthy of the Lord. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on your word this morning, we acknowledge that sometimes it's hard to hear that you are the be-all and end-all of everything. Lord, often we seek to find new things. But Lord, forgive us for that and help us to continue in you. Lord, forgive us also for the times where we grow complacent in our walk with you, where we grow so familiar with things that we've forgotten to make you Lord of our lives. Help us, Lord, and encourage us to continue living for you. Protect us, Lord, from being deceived, and help us to understand that we have everything we could possibly want in you, including life. And we pray this in your name.